This morning I have a very simple message. I want to tell you the story in my own words that Adam read a moment ago, and then I want to share three truths from it. He read about King Joash, who was the king of Israel. And the Bible says that Joash was a wicked king. We read about Elisha, who was the prophet of God. He was the one that followed Elijah. And when Elijah was being taken up into heaven, we'll do that announcement afterwards, Brother Leonard, okay? When Elijah was being taken up into heaven, he said to Elisha, who was his helper at the time, "Okay, I'm about to leave. What do you want?" And Elisha said, "I want to have double the power of God on me that you had on you." And you can go back and read the stories of both of those men, and you'll find that Elisha performed twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But Elisha was a preacher; he was a prophet. And you might say he was a thorn in King Joash's side. In fact, Joash didn't care very much for Elisha. He was a wicked king. He raised up groves or trees to worship Baal. He turned his back on the God of Israel and worshiped other gods. And Elisha came to Joash again and again and again and says, "What you're doing is not right. It's wrong. It's evil. It's a sin. You've disobeyed God. You turn to these false gods that can't help you. You need to get rid of these idols. You need to come back to the true God. And you just need to do right." And Joash didn't listen to him. He didn't listen to the man of God. And now Elijah is old. Some think he was up in his 90s. And Adam read, "And Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died." He was about to die. And so he was on his deathbed. And who comes to visit him? The king. The one who Joash has, King Joash, the one who Elijah has been pointing his finger at over and over and over again, saying, "Hey, you're in sin. You're turning against God. You need to turn around and do right." The king, who thought very little of Elijah, shows up when he was on his deathbed and makes a visit. That's why I entitled my sermon this morning, "The King Makes a Hospital Visit." I mean, this king, while Elisha was living and in his prime and preaching, wanted nothing to do with him. And it's very strange that here he is about to die, that this king would come to visit him. And notice what he said. He didn't say, "Oh, Elisha, I hope you get better." He didn't say, "Elisha, I hope, I'm sorry that you're sick." He said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Now, if you go back and you read earlier in 2 Kings, I think it's chapter 2 of 2 Kings, when Elijah was being taken up into heaven by that fiery servant, his helper, Elisha, the one we're talking about this morning, said exactly the same words when Elijah went up to heaven. "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And the king looks at this dying man of God, the man who had named the king's sins over and over and over, the man who had told the king what he was doing wrong, the man who told the king that he needed to repent, this preacher of righteousness, and he said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And what the king was saying to Elijah, what he was saying to this man of God was this. He says, "You have done more to save the nation of Israel than all the chariots and all the horsemen put together. All the armies of Israel, you, one man of God, has done more to save this nation than all of them put together." A preacher of righteousness, a preacher that pointed out sin, a preacher that rebuked the king. The king looked at him as he was dying and says, "You've done more than all the armies of Israel, all of them put together, to save this nation." I have three simple points this morning. Number one, America needs some men of God like Elisha. America needs some men of God that will stand and proclaim this book to this nation. You see, I don't believe the United States of America will be saved by its military. I thank God for the military forces that we have. I thank God for every man and woman that serves in our military. And we've got a new plan in Afghanistan, and our men and women are in harm's way there and other places in the world. But I'll tell you this morning that the salvation of our country, the saving of our country, will not come from the Army, will not come from the Marines, will not come from the Navy, will not come from the Air Force, will not come from the Coast Guard, or the National Guard. The salvation of our country will come as it is pointed back to God. Right. The salvation of our country won't be by economic reform. We've all heard to where we're tired now of all the bailouts and all the things that are going on. And I'm glad somebody has a plan, and I hope it works, to get the economy going again. But I'll tell you what, the salvation of our country will not be that the economy turns around and people go back to work and all the banks are saved. Economists won't save America. Neither will education. You know, again, money is being spent on education, and I'm glad. I think we ought to educate. Everybody ought to have an equal opportunity to get an education. But calling on our schools to do a better job and wanting more people to go to college, teachers and principals and school administrators will not save America. The thing that America needs today are men of God to get in pulpits and preach this book and call sin, sin, and point their finger at things that are wrong and say, that is wrong. It is sin. It is against God. You know, we're living in the last days. The Bible says in the last days, people will have itching ears. They'll want somebody to come and smooth their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And they'll tell them, they want to be told that what they're doing is right, and they're all right, and they don't need to change. But that's not what this book says. This book says that regardless of what the world calls it, and regardless of how the world tries to dress it up, sin is still sin, and there's a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. And so we need men of God this morning that will point their finger at alcohol and say, that is wrong. We'll point their finger at tobacco and say, that is wrong. We'll point their finger at abortion and say, that is wrong. We'll point their finger at devil worship and say, that is wrong. We'll point their finger at the lottery and say, that is wrong. We'll point their finger at immodest dress and say, that is wrong. And if I haven't hit your sin, stick around. I'll get it before I'm done. We need some preachers that will stand in pulpits and say, hell is real. And the penalty for sin will end you up in hell because you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to get excited again about living for God and doing right. That's what our country needs. So here's a man of God. He's dying. Here's the king that comes to visit him. What does Elisha do? I like what he did. He didn't sit there and say, well, let's have a nice visit. I got some extra apple juice, king. Let's just drink it together and we'll just sit here and, you know, have exchange niceties. That's not what he did. I like what he did. You know what he did? He preached. He preached an illustrated sermon. And I'll tell you what, I love to go hear some of these preachers that are old, up in years, and that have decided they're never going to retire, they're just going to die in the pulpit. I can remember my pastor, Edgar Roberts. He preached Sunday and died on Tuesday. He preached right up until the very end. And that's what Elisha was doing. He says, take your bow and arrow. Take your bow. Take an arrow, King Joash. And open the window toward the east. Shoot. And the Bible said, and Elijah said that the Bible says that Elisha came over and put his hands on King Joash as he pulled back that arrow and let it fly out the window. Here's my second point, a second truth. We need the hand of God upon us. Upon us. You know, when Adam was a little boy, he liked to drive. I'd set him on my lap, and he grabbed a steering wheel, and he'd drive. Of course, I had my hands on his hands. I'm not stupid as I look, but, you know, I had my hands on his hands. And we'd get home and he'd tell his sister, "Oh, I drove home." And she would say, "No, you didn't." "Yes, I did." But I had my hands on his. That's exactly what we need today. We need the hand of God on us. Every time I get up to preach, I pray a little prayer as I'm walking toward the pulpit. "God, I need your hand on me right now." Sunday school teachers, as you teach, you need to say that same prayer. "Dear God, I need your hand upon me." Moms and dads, if you try to be the moms and dad that God wants you to be, you need to pray this prayer every day. "Dear God, I need your hand upon me." Husbands and wives, as we try to be the husbands and wives that God wants us to be, we need to pray that prayer. "God, I need your hand upon me." Everything that we do to please God, we need his hand upon us. We sing the song, "Have you failed in the plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn with toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand." You know, too many of us are like little kids. We get in the car and we put our hands on that wheel and we can say, "I can do this by myself." Probably heard the story of a little 8-year-old the other day that got his dad's keys and got in the car and went driving down the street and hit a couple cars, ran into a police car. And many of us, we try to live our lives that way. We say, "God, I can steer my own life. I can handle it all myself." And the honest truth is, we can't. We need the hand of God upon us. And by the way, I'll share another truth with you. It's not one of the three. It's sort of 2.5. We need to find a man of God and let him put his hand on us as well. We need to find somebody that preaches this book, somebody that lifts our hearts toward God, somebody that helps us walk straighter, somebody that helps us live cleaner, somebody that helps us live better week after week after week, somebody that helps us become a better husband and a better wife, somebody that helps us become a better dad and a better mom. And if you find a man of God like that, you need to stick with him. There'll be times when he will say things that you don't agree with. There'll be times that he'll hurt your feelings. There'll be times where he'll say something that you'll say, "I don't think the preacher ought to have said that." But if he's pointing you toward God, if he's lifting your heart toward God, if he's helping you walk with God, if he's preaching this book, you need to stick with him. You need to stick with him. Elisha finished up his sermon. He says, "King Joash, take some arrows." And Joash got a handful of arrows. And Elisha said, "Smite him on the ground. Hit him on the ground." And the Bible says that Joash took him and hit him 3 times on the ground. And Elisha got mad. He said, "Hey, you should have done it more than that. You should have done it 6 or 7 or 8 times. Because then you would have defeated the enemy completely. Now you're only going to beat him 3 times. My third point this morning is this. You need to finish the job. You need to finish what you start. Have you been convicted of your sin? Then you need to be saved. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, "Hey, you know, that preacher's right when he talks about all people being sinner," you're a sinner. You're a sinner. But don't stop there. Don't stop with just the realization, "Yeah, I've broken some of God's laws. I've done things that God has not wanted me to do. I'm guilty of sin." Don't stop there. Finish the job. Go ahead and get saved. Go ahead and come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Yeah, it's one thing to know that you're a sinner, and I'm glad that you do, because you can't get saved until you do know that you're a sinner. And by the way, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." And so every single person in this room this morning, we fall under that description. We're all sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the penalty that we owe. And so if you've been convicted that you're a sin, if you can honestly say this morning, hey, preacher, there's some things in my life that I know should not be there. I've done some things in my life. And I always tell the little kids when they tell me, well, I don't think I've done anything wrong, preacher. I have never sinned. I always ask them, did you ever tell a lie? And sometimes they'll admit and say, well, yeah, I told a little one. I said, one little lie makes you a sinner. I said, did you ever disobey mom and dad? Well, yeah, one time I did that. Well, that makes you a sinner too. You see, one sin makes you a sinner. That's why the Bible can truthfully say, and it's right, all have sinned, because I dare say that if you would let me examine your life, I could help you find a sin that you're guilty of. And that sin puts you under the condemnation of God and the penalty of sin, which is separation from God. So if you've been convicted of sin this morning, go ahead and finish the job. Come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. You've been saved? Then go ahead and finish. Get baptized, like Dora's going to do this morning. Somebody asked her, are you as scared as that little girl McKenna was a few weeks ago that didn't want to go under? And I answered for her, I said, almost. But if you've been saved, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation, but if you've been saved, you go ahead, you need to get baptized. That's the first step of obedience. If you've been baptized, then join a Bible preaching church. Hook yourself up with a church that has a man of God that preaches this book and turns your hearts toward God. Join the church, then become faithful. Faithful. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Look, most of us don't eat once a week. Some of us, including myself, might be a little bit better off if we ate less than we did. But don't try to get by on one meal a week. Come to Sunday school. Come to the morning service. And I'm glad you're here this morning. But come back tonight. Come on Wednesday night. Be faithful to God's house. Learn to pray. Learn to read your Bible by habit. Learn to read your Bible on schedule. By disciplining yourselves, make it a habit. Don't just read your Bible when you feel like it, when you feel God's being good to you. He's good to you all the time, you just don't know it. Learn to read the Bible, learn to pray, learn to witness, learn to tithe, learn to do all the things that God wants us to do in this book. Finish the job. Last message Elisha preached, he preached to this king. He said, finish the job. And that's what I say to you this morning. If you've been convicted of sin, get saved. You've been saved, get baptized. You've been baptized, join the church. Join the church and then become faithful to the church. Just do what God wants us to do. Elijah ended his life like he spent all of it, pointing the king to God. And I've often said, I want to be just like my pastor. I want to preach on Monday and then die that week. And then you come and bury me and you can say the same thing about me that I can say about him. He preached right till the very end. Right till the very end. Now I'm done. We're a little bit later than we normally are. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to come. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist, although I think being a Baptist is pretty good. And I'm not even asking you to join this church, although I think it's a pretty good church. We'll talk about that later. What I'm interested in right now in the next few moments is that every single person that's in this room knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. You need Him. You need Him. And all you have to do is come and ask Him, and He'll save you. He'll save you. Just like we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. His body was broken, His blood was shed to pay the price for your sins. And if you'll come and ask Him this morning, He'll save you. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we're going to sing a song. We're going to invite you to come. And if you'll come, I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for our Savior. And I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that right now the Holy Spirit will convict them of their need for a Savior and they would turn to Christ. The only one that works, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, today would be the day that they would come. I pray for the Christians that are here. If you've spoken to our heart about something we need to finish, then I pray we do it today. We do it right now. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.